In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to look now at Psalm 8. So the first part of the reflection, as usual, is going to be sort of like more general. And then I'll take the other part to look at the psalm itself. As you can recall, it's only 10 verses long. When I searched for where the psalm occurs, it occurs four different places in the breviary. And it's found, if I can read my writing, on the Feast of the Ascension, and then Saturday of week two, in the morning, Monday, in the daytime, and finally Saturday, of the Psalm series of week four, during the daytime prayer. Doesn't say much about the Psalm, I mean, or how it wound up in those places, but I think, it's important that we see that this is a wonderful example of humanism. Seeing how great man is by the work of God. Humanism is only wrong when it tries to exalt man at the expense of God. Cardinal Henri de Lubac has a book called The Drama of Atheist Humanism. And it's the big fat book now, the fourth edition, I think. It's trying to exalt man. And the people that he picks to study that are people who can't stand the idea that there's a God. Why? Because they're afraid of him. And the best way to make something not exist is to put your head in the sand. There is no God. We've been projecting all our stuff, you know, onto a God instead of saying it's really ours. And it's such a tragedy. Ah. This psalm is saying the opposite. How splendid is your name throughout the earth. I'm going to celebrate your majesty above the heavens. And so then, he's going on like that. So this psalm is a reflection on the wonder of man. You know, man is a material creature, and yet he has the seeds of eternity within him. And if he yields and obeys God, he will spend as a creature, a material creature, he will spend eternity kept alive by the very life of the Trinity. And that's why this is such a powerful psalm. I just pointed out to you some of the places where the psalm occurs. Sometimes when you're saying the office, it does help to, if you have a commentary, a good one. The reason I'm doing this, actually, is to help us as we say these psalms in the breviary. So this one, probably difficult to date, but it's the instructions don't give an author, they just give a choir master, Limanasi, and that is supposed to be done on the Gittet, and then it's le David. We have no way of controlling that, but it quite likely, I guess. So the first line, which we never, it's the directions, verse 1. For the choir director on the Gittet, a psalm of David. That must mean sung to certain, to a certain instrument, okay? Now it starts in the next verse, okay? Adonai, Adoninu, Ma'adir Shem Kava Kol Haaretz. The first word is Yahweh, but we don't say Yahweh. Everybody did by the time when the psalm was written. It was only in the, I've forgotten now, 5th century, 4th century, that BC, that people avoided saying the name. And that's when they took the word as it's here. Remember, in Hebrew, you don't print the vowels. You just have the consonants. Most, today, the Jerusalem newspapers are all that way. For instance, you get the drift and you can fill in the consonants, the vowel. So, that's where we get Jehovah is... It's the combination of Adonai and the vowels, I mean the consonants for Yahweh. Adonai, and this text has them right after it, Adonenu. Ma adir shimka b'kol haaretz. How great is your name. How splendid is your name throughout the earth. What is the name of God? It's the expression of who He is. And so, all of creation is the, in a way, the expression, the Shem. But then Moses asks God in Exodus, what's your name? I have to go back and tell all these people that our God is going to lead us out of slavery into the land that He promised. And they're going to want to know, well, what's His name? See, if I say to somebody walking down the street, hey, might turn around, he might not, but I say, hey, Joe, hi. The name is important. And so, see, for the choir director, Psalm of David, and the Psalm itself starts on the next line, Adonai, Adonenu, literally Yahweh, our Lord. How splendid is your name. Everywhere I look, I see your Shem. I see the expression of who you are. And it's so beautiful. It's so delicate. Down to the tiny little ants and the elephants. You know, the stars and the ocean. This is all an expression of who you are. And in that sense, it's your Shem. But you have a name, you see. And finally the name turns out to be Abba. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us. God so loved God says in Galatians, I mean, and then in Romans, God gave us His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father. That's the secret name. We can say Abba, Abba, Abba all we want, but you see, it's that grace by which the Holy Spirit gives us a share in Jesus' divine affection for the Father, that we say Abba. I think I've shared once before. I was brand new. I had been, you know, in the monastery maybe a month, and I was reading the Bible. No, I wasn't. I was just praying. And all of a sudden, this word came from within me, Abba. And it was so beautiful. And I said to myself, I think that's in the Bible someplace. And that's where I was, you know. But it had that effect, nevertheless, of affection and trust, Abba. See? How splendid is your name. This whole universe is the expression of who you are, you see. I want to celebrate your majesty above the heavens. Huh? Greater than anything else, you see, is this here, above the heavens, you see. Okay. By the mouth of infants and nurslings, you established strength because of the enemy and the avenger. These are mysterious lines, aren't they? If it's an infant and a nursling, how is he going to take over the enemy and the avenger? Well, you can look one way. Therese is the Therese of the child Jesus. And yet, her intercession saved thousands from the influence of Satan. Because the Shem, the name, the reality of God, dwelt in her, and her prayer returned to the Father. You see? So I want to celebrate your majesty above the heavens. By the mouth of infants and nurslings, you established strength because of the enemy and the avenger. And the example is Therese, for instance, you see? So every wise man is an infant. Every wise man is a child of God. And that's why the Holy Spirit teaches us to say, Abba. I just told you about that. Abba is an Aramaic word. Abba. It's what a child says to his own father. And I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but it's worth again. I was in a grocery store in Jerusalem, and I was going down the aisle, and of course the aisles are high, and just in front of me was a boy, 3 or 4 years old. All of a sudden, he looked around and he couldn't see his father. So he said, Abba, Abba, Ephata, Dad, Dad, where are you? And the dad, a young father, leaned over from the other aisle and said, Anipo, I'm right here. Anybody, there's no problem. But when I saw that child say that, I saw what the Holy Spirit can teach us about relating to God, you see. And so, that's the name, you see. Your name, how splendid is your name, the expression of who you are. Yes, Adonai and Lord, but also Abba. You see? By the mouth of infants and nurslings you establish strength because of the enemy and the avenger. That is, childlike trust in God, which takes guts, makes someone stronger than all the enemies in the world. But we have to entrust ourselves to God. And we do that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you see. And now he starts to look around. When I gaze at your heavens, the work of your own hands, you see, the moon and the stars which you established, what is man that you recall him? Or the Son of Man that you concern yourself with him? We'll take a break and I'll finish. I'll pick up from there and go over that some more.